So the message tonight is really restored. I actually put something on the Thank you, my sweetie pie. It's not that it's that important. It's just a picture, but it's quite a nice picture because it paints a picture of what this whole message is about. I'm trying so hard not to dip this microphone in the water. I don't know what it'll sound like if I do it, but I think I'll be in big trouble because this is worth a couple of rain. Remember when Jesus took the 5 loaves of bread and he broke it and the 2 fish and he fed the 5,000 people? Or whatever, how many people were there? 5,000 people. And when it was all done, they took and they collected the pieces of bread. They picked it up and they filled 12 baskets with it. There were pieces of bread all over the place. All over, leftovers. But with Jesus, everything worked. Everything came right. And tonight, you may feel like your life is... What's going on here? Oh, there we go. You like it. I know the youngsters will like it. I like it. Looked far better on the picture in the internet that I found. But that's what God wants to do with our lives. And it might be old, but it's still faithful and still very nice looking. Anyway, let's see who'd like to drive a car that looks like that. I don't know if I would like to drive it to work and back every day, because I think you might sit at the side of the road more often. But our God is the God of restoration. But coming back to the pieces of bread, the fragments. Jesus said to them, gather up now the fragments, the broken pieces that are left over, so that nothing may be lost and wasted. And that is Jesus. He doesn't want anything to be lost and wasted in our lives. So when our lives start feeling like things are falling apart, it's just pieces here and pieces there, Jesus is saying tonight, it's time to gather up the fragments, to put them back together so that nothing will be lost and wasted. Isn't that amazing? Our God is the God of restoration. With Him, nothing is wasted. Nothing in our lives. We may feel my life is a mess. I've come all these years, my life's a mess. Let me give you some example. Maybe you're struggling with a couple of situations. What about your relationship with Jesus? Is it where it needs to be? Does it feel like you've got a fragmented relationship with the Lord? Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not good. You're picking up the pieces here and there, but it's not gelling properly. That's one of the reasons why we're here tonight. What about other relationships in your life? Have you seen relationships in your life crumble and become fragments of what they used to be? Maybe your marriage, maybe your relationship with your children or your parents or your extended family. I think our family, I'll be honest, I think our extended family is like that. We were once great friends and spent time together and our children grew up together. We've kind of fragmented. What about your workplace? Have you lost a job or suffered bad health? Your health isn't what it used to be. It's a fragment of what it used to be. Maybe your finances. Maybe you used to have a good, strong bank balance and, well, it's not what it used to be. God says, with me, nothing is wasted. I can allow you to take those fragments of your life, put them back together in a basket, and make something good of them. Make something good of them. What came of those 12 baskets? Well, the Bible doesn't say, but I would imagine they took them back into the town. And the people ate of it. They were nurtured. They were fed. Who knows what God can do with those broken fragments of your life? He's the great restorer. What about your joy? Do you even still have your joy? The joy of the Lord, which is your strength. I battle with that sometimes, honestly. And I'm a happy chappy. Some of you will say I'm a grumpy old man. You were supposed to laugh there. Are you guys awake? You know, I've got to make myself laugh at my own jokes. What about your joy? Is it a fragment of what it used to be? Do you really have that inner, the indwelling joy that comes from the Holy Spirit? Is it sometimes there? Is it a fragment of what it used to be? Do you have it all the time? Is it better than what it used to be? Is it growing? Because with the Lord, we've got a continual fountain of living water that's flowing. It doesn't dry up and drip. Jeremiah was complaining to the Lord. The people were picking on him. He was complaining to the Lord. He said to the Lord, you're like a river that dries up, or like a stream that stops flowing. And God rebuked him. He said, stop speaking this rubbish. Start speaking good things. If you speak good things, I can use you as my mouthpiece. Stop it now. Are we confessing about all the things and we say, God, but your faithfulness is dried up? You know why God rebuked Jeremiah? Because Jeremiah knew what he was saying was nonsense. Because he knew God. He served God. He stood up for God. He knew God. And yet he spoke rubbish. God said, if you want to be my mouthpiece, stop this. Speak the good things. And that's what we need to do. We need to look at our lives and say, I'm going to stop confessing all these negative things. Today is a day to declare no more wasted time, no more stolen years, no more broken relationships, no more broken health or resources in my life. If our lives are filled with these broken fragments, it's time to pick them up and lay them before God so that He can restore and rebuild every broken area in our life. Think about the wall of Jerusalem in Nehemiah's time. God allowed them to rebuild it. There were broken fragments all around. I don't think they used bricks, but let's say shattered and broken stones and bits and pieces and a bit of a gate here and a bit of a pole there. And God said, gather them all together. I'll give you the new materials. Let's put it back together. And they rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. That's what God wants to do in our lives tonight. With His help, nothing need be wasted. God brings beauty out of disaster. I'm going to tell you three stories actually. One is by a man by the name of J. Stuart Holden. He tells him, I'm a bit like my son tonight. I'm drinking all the water. Shame Joshua went home. He's got the flu. So that's why I led the praise and worship tonight. He tells of an old Scottish mansion, which was close to where he stayed. You know, they had summer homes. Cheryl was telling us this afternoon about her brother who's living in Scotland. And it's midsummer there. And he's sitting outside in midsummer with a jacket on. It's 19 degrees. They're all hot. And he's freezing. So they had a summer mansion there. I don't know what it felt like. But anyway, they probably had heaters. And this home had been refurbished. But on one of the walls, one day, they say a picture, let's say a jug of soda water was messed. And it messed up the wall that had been newly painted. Imagine we go here into our atrium where it's been beautifully tiled and some paint gets spilled all over it. And an artist was there. His name was Lord Landseer. He was living as a guest in the house. And he took a piece of charcoal and in a masterly way, in the way of an expert, where that blotch was, he drew around it and drew like a river running down. And made it into the most beautiful picture on the wall. So that which was a disaster, that which was a mess, he made look beautiful again. And other artists came over the years, and that whole wall was transformed into a thing of beauty because of that mess that initially happened. Then there's another account of a lady who once showed an artist, you know, in the old days, having a handkerchief was actually quite priceless. Those kind of things cost money. They were valuable. And she got a blot of ink on her hanky. And she was very disappointed. And she was complaining about it. She said, well, now it's good for nothing but to be thrown away. And another artist, took her hanky from her. And he brought it back that night. And around that spot, he had drawn the most beautiful picture with that blot of ink as part of the picture. And that hanky was once again probably worth more than what it initially was. That's what God wants to do with our lives. He wants to take that spill against the wall. He wants to take that blot on our hinky. And He wants to clean it up. Think about the prodigal son. He took what was good, went and blew it, he wasted it, he trashed his life. His life was an absolute mess. It was a fragment of what it had previously been. But when he came back to his father waited with open arms and took him in and restored everything. He blessed him. He clothed him. He didn't say go away. He clothed him. He loved him. They killed the fatted ram for him. Put him in a ring on his finger. Made him feel special once again. That's what our God is like. He wants to bless us. And we know that. I think I'm preaching to the converted tonight. But let's have a look. When we think things are too broken, when we think things are too bad, when we think they're too far gone, like that lady who was going to chuck her handkerchief away, like that house that's wall had the mess on it, they thought they were going to have to repaint the whole wall, God comes and He turns it into a masterpiece. you got your Bibles here, I thought Joshua was going to read the scripture this morning, but he didn't. It's one of his favorite scriptures. Ephesians 2:10. And I like it the way it's in the New Living Translation. But in the New King James, version says, "We are God's workmanship." In the New Living Translation, it says this: "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago." You see, we think our lives are a mess. We think God can't use us. But what He's saying is, I want to take that mess and I want to turn it into a masterpiece so that you can do the good things I've prepared in advance for you to do. We say, no, it's a mess. I can't. He says, no, I've got good things I want you to do. I will take that mess and I'll make it a masterpiece. Think about what we can do when that sinks into us, when we realize we are God's masterpiece. Those broken crumbs and pieces of our lives, He wants to put them together. He wants to bring restoration into our lives. In Isaiah chapter 61, which we know very well, I'll read it. "The Spirit of the Lord, of the Sovereign Lord, is upon me. For the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it the day of God's anger against their enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, He will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for His own glory. They will rebuild." Listen to the restoration. "They will rebuild the ancient ruins, repairing cities destroyed long ago. They will revive them, though they have been deserted for many generations." And dropping down to verse 7. "Instead of shame and dishonor, you will enjoy a double share of honor. You will possess a double portion of prosperity in your land. And everlasting joy will be yours." And as I was thinking about the scripture, and this is why I've pulled it out, we know it very well. But it is a comprehensive description of restoration. So if you start right at the beginning, to bring good news to the poor, it's good. If we need to hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it comes. But then comfort the brokenhearted, it goes to a next level of restoration. And then it goes to another level, releasing the prisoners. "He has sent me to tell those who mourn," those who are down, those who are mourning, some of them might have been mourning, if you think of the Beatitudes, because of their lack of understanding of who they are, or over their sins. And then he carries on, he says, he's also going to bring judgment against their enemies, and he's going to give a crown of beauty for ashes. So where your life was that broken, shattered, bits and pieces, fragments, he's going to give beauty where there's ashes. Joyous blessing instead of mourning is going to restore your joy. Do you see it's progressive? It's not just one blessing, it's a whole lot of blessings. And what God is wanting to do is He's wanting to bring total restoration. He doesn't want to just restore one part of our lives. He wants to restore us totally. This speaks of total restoration. And then in verse 7 it says, "Instead of shame and dishonor, you will enjoy" what? "A double share," a double portion. God is the God of the double portion. He wants to take that which is messed up and broken and not working, and He wants to not just restore you, but He wants to give you more, because He's El Shaddai, the full-breasted one, the more than enough God. And when God is finished working with us, then we are better off than what we were before, even when we were good. He makes us better. That's what He wants to do tonight. It speaks of restored blessings on every level of our lives, not just salvation, but He wants to break the chains of bondage, and He wants to bring joy back in. And then He wants to give us a double portion. Then I go to the potter's house, which I spoke about earlier on today in the morning service. Jeremiah 18 verse 1 to 4. For restoration to take place, we need to go to the potter's house. Now, in my mind, this is the potter's house. I know God, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, but this is the potter's house. Sometimes you need to come to church so you can kneel at an altar. The Lord gave another message to Jeremiah. He said, "Go down to the potter's shop." The New Living Translation says shop, but in most Bibles you will hear the potter's house. "And I will speak to you there. So I did as He told me, and found the potter working at his wheel. Do you see the first thing that you need to do if you want to get the Lord's restoration in your life? You need to go to the potter's house. But for him to have done that, he needed to do something else first. He needed to obey the Lord. Because the Lord spoke, and he did what God told him to do. Go down to the potter's shop, and I will speak to you there. So I did as he told me, and found the potter working at his wheel. But the jar he was making did not turn out as he had hoped. So he crushed it into a lump of clay again, and started over. And we are like that clay in the potter's hand. Did you notice that the clay was still in the potter's hand when it was marred? Did you notice that the clay was still in his hand when it didn't come out that way that he wanted? Have you ever, I don't know, but maybe particularly men, but ladies are artistic as well. Can you imagine doing those crosses? Can you imagine, you probably did it when you were doing that afternoon. Did you sometimes put stuff down and it didn't work there? Did you lift those pieces of glass and put them down somewhere else? God says, I can do that with your life. I want you to look like this. Oh my goodness, there's a piece that's in the wrong place here. Let me lift it and go and put it in the right place. That's what he wants to do tonight. It was still in his hand. He didn't take that piece of clay and throw it away. So, I don't need you. I want to give you an example. Let me picture this. He didn't say this. Didn't say this. Didn't say that with us. He didn't. He kept it in his hands. He kept it in his hands. And when our lives are a mess, he keeps us in his hands. The mess. He didn't tear us up, throw it away. But instead what he did was he said, come, let me take this clay back into a place where I can use it. I need somewhere that I can work on this piece of clay, my paper clay, tonight. And I'll make it something valuable, something that can be used. And he folded this clay and made it a paper aeroplane, something that could be played with, something of value. Because right now it's just a piece of crumpled clay. But maybe God could use it for something good. That's what he's saying to us. He'll do something good with our lives. And yes, there's maybe some scars and some crumpling and stuff. But that just makes it look different. Makes it look unique. Because you can't crumple this paper again and get exactly the same crumples, you know. And God takes these crumples in our lives and he uses them to build us up and to make us something special. To make us unique. And we will learn from those things. I'm just making an airplane because the only thing I know how to fold. Well, I hope it flies just now. But you must know, if God turns us into an airplane, we'll fly. Amen? But you kind of get the drift of what I'm trying to say to you tonight. God will take this mess. He didn't throw us away. It's still in my hands. I might be battling to get it right, but... And sometimes God has to battle with our lives. Sometimes he's got to unfold it, and... Oh my goodness, that fold's not so good. Maybe I'm going to have to tear some elevators into the back to make sure it flies straight. But that's what he does, and he's patient with it. I've had enough of that thing. He doesn't do that. He carries on until it's done. Gee, I can only make the simplest of paper jets. I haven't done this for a couple of years. But there we go. He irons us, our lives out a little bit and makes us... You know, we might be a bit crumpled from the journey, but that doesn't mean that we're useless. In his time, he makes all things beautiful. Amen? And then when it's time to fly, he'll release us and let us fly. Gee, it even worked. Amen? Does that make sense to you tonight? So God loves us. And he won't make a mess of our lives. Even when it becomes a mess, he reforms us in the palm of his hands. And then he says, go, and I will use you, and you will be my vessel. In closure tonight, before we pray, and I told you it was a very short message, Isaiah 58 verse 12. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. And those things, the repairer of the breach is all capital letters, capital R, capital B, restorer, capital R, and S, capital S. I believe it's talking about Jesus. He's the restorer of the breach. He's the restorer of the streets, the repairer of the breach. So if we think we've gone If you think our lives are too much of a mess, think God can't use us. You can think our health situation is too bad, God can't use us. We're wrong. Because God can use us, and He will use us, and He will restore us. All we've got to do is come to the potter's house and see what He's got to say for us. And tonight, I know this is our regular congregation, bar maybe for one, but God is speaking to our hearts. He says, I want to straighten out the mess. This morning, He said, I want to loose those chains. I want to make you free. Tonight He's saying, I want to bring restoration in your lives. I want to release you so that you can fly, so that you can soar on the wings of an eagle. I want to renew your youth like that of the eagles, help you to be able to soar. God is never done with us. God will never give up on us. He is the God of restoration. He will take those pieces and fragments of our lives, and He will do a work of restoration. But we need to let Him. Because it's in God's hands, because our lives are in God's hands, nothing is wasted. Even that crumpled up piece of paper flew like a jet. I was shocked and stunned, but praise the Lord. It flew upside down. That's quite amazing, eh? It's got aerobatic abilities. And it was a simple illustration, but I pray that this illustration will stay with you. God does not throw us away. God does not damage us. And sometimes those crumples and crinkles, they're the marks of life. Angus Buchan talks them about the roadmaps of life that are on your face. But every one of those lines has taught us a lesson. With each one of those lines, God has developed character. God has built our lives up. We've learned something that will help us to be better when we go forward. Because when God makes us, He doesn't make junk. And when He brings restoration, we're better than what we were before. Amen. We're going to spend a time now of prayer, calling on the Lord, seeking His face. If you want to come forward, if you feel that your life is a mess, or not necessarily a whole life, just certain areas in your life are a mess. Maybe your walk with the Lord, maybe your health, maybe your work. It could be anything where you think, maybe you've got a low self-esteem. Maybe you keep on thinking, I keep messing up. Let me tell you, I battle with that a lot. I battle with that a lot. I think, oh, now you've put your foot in it. Even as a pastor, I often question, and I'm opening my heart to you tonight. I often say, am I going to get this right or am I going to mess it up? By God's grace, I won't get it wrong. Only by His grace. Only by His grace. Are there parts of my life that are fragments of what they need to be? Do I need to bring it to God so that He can make me whole again? That's you tonight. Let's respond. I don't even have any music because I think maybe, I don't know if members of the worship team want to come forward. Let's just close our eyes and speak to the Lord tonight. Lord, we love You. We bless You and we worship You tonight. We exalt Your name. We magnify You tonight, Lord. We exalt You. We lift Your name on high. You are more than enough for us. You are our El Shaddai, the all-sufficient One. You raise us up, Lord. You lift us up to more in what we could ever be on our own. We bless You tonight.